Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live, live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. Today, the grand opening of the DraftKings Sports and Social downtown 2nd Avenue here at Nashville Live, raising the sports bar, the ultimate fan experience, and your game day destination tonight for Thursday Night Football, where the first 50 people through the door will receive a gift from DraftKings. Saturday, they've got the ultimate tailgate party, and Sunday, the official Titans watch party, the Titans game day hangout, where you can register to win a signed Derrick Henry jersey and tickets to an upcoming game. TD is with us for the TD Power Hour. TD, welcome to the DraftKings Sports and Social.
This is a really nice place, man. I love the view of Nissan Stadium. That's awesome. I always liked the previous place that was here. In fact, the Eagles fans came here and they drank all the Bud Light when the Titans hosted the Eagles. So, yeah, this is a great place, man.
This view at Nissan Stadium where we are right now, I mean, this you cannot be better than this.
And you got the pedestrian bridge over there. Yeah, this is sweet.
TD, let's get right into kind of the state of the Titans, right? Titans lose by 1 point to the Saints. They win in overtime against the Chargers. They get blown out by Cleveland. I would say everybody was freaking out, but
not me.
I was freaking out.
Of course.
Then they blow out the Bengals. Now they sit 2-2 tied with everybody else in the division. What do we make of what we've seen so far?
I think it's a matter of the offense just finding some consistency. The line settling into a groove, a role, and it's interesting because you got Skowronski probably coming back in for Radens. So that's going to help. I think when you look at the offense, though, there could be a little trouble brewing with Treylon Burks and his situation. That's something, that knee, I don't know.
Is that the Minnesota knee? Has there been anything that's happened to it since?
It's the same knee, but Mike Vrabel said that it's not a re-aggravation of that injury. So take from that what you want. I don't know how to look at that one. I just think he's going to be out for a bit. But fortunately, Chris Moore has stepped up, 33.5 yards a catch. He's a vertical threat. They're still finding ways to stretch the field, even without play action. So that's a good thing for the offense. Derrick Henry is not getting hit in the backfield like he was in Cleveland. So that's another positive. And you look at this Colts defense, they don't have the same penetrators as far as up front that the Browns did. So that's good defensively. I mean, look, they didn't give up an explosive, but I still think that concern is there where they have to make sure that they're on the same page. They have to make sure that those communications are being relayed and you're not having a miscommunication like against the Browns. Then up front, those guys, they got to get home. And they did that a few times against the Bengals, so that's a positive. You're getting better play from Jack Gibbons as well as Azeez Al-Shaair, so those are good things. And just popped into my mind, the tight ends are blocking better as well.
Oh, yeah, Wiley had a great game against the
Bengals.
Wiley
had a great game. Wesco had a couple nice blocks. And Chig, he is always in the mix as well.
So when it comes to the defense, do you look at the game last week as a, hey, defense really got it together, or do we take it with a grain of salt because of the state of Joe Burrow?
I think it's both because you also have to look at T. Higgins not being in the game. Mm-hmm. He's their vertical guy. That's where they get the explosives from. Now, they came close to a 20-yard play. Chase had the catch and run. It was 17 yards. That was the longest play. But notice how Burrow – he didn't take shots down the field. Mm-hmm. And he was trying to get that ball out quickly because, obviously, you know, you got these guys bearing down on him, and he's not going to be able to elude their pressure. So I think it's a mix where it's like, okay, they didn't have any blown coverages, which was good. They stuck to their men for the most part. They tackled, which was good. Up front, they got home. It was good. Don't get too high on it.
What do you think about the fact that the Titans' offense on the road has been terrible and the Titans' offense at home has been good?
I think you got to look beyond that. The Saints are a pretty good defense. Mm-hmm. That secondary is solid. And there were some errors there, right? You had Tannehill had some open throws, but if he hits, and I hate to use the if part of it, but those plays, if you hit those, they win the game. Mm-hmm. And now we're not talking about that game in the same way because they had 20 points. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Or, yeah. So, or the Browns one is just, That defense, man. Like they just ran into a buzzsaw. So I don't look at it as much as, okay, they're not good on the road and they're better at home. I look at it more as like they face two pretty solid defenses.
What did you think of the job that Tim Kelly did on Sunday against the Bengals with the way that he helped protect Ryan Tannehill when they took shots outside the numbers?
It was solid. You had help from the tight ends. You had they, you know, when they needed to slide, they did that correctly. I think he did a great job. In fact, I was trying to get Coach Vrabel to compliment him, but he
Vrabel didn't want to hear any
players.
Of that.
Yeah, he didn't want to hear any of that. You know, and I get it. I get it. You want to make sure the credit goes to the players, especially a coach like him who's a former player. But I think Tim Kelly did a good job also of just with formations. Like, he isolated Hopkins one-on-one with that young corner. And I tell you, that play by DeAndre Hopkins, the release was solid, but he was like 5 yards down the field. The stutter and then the acceleration to pull away from the DB, I don't care how old he is, he still has that little bit, and that was a great play. So, you know, that's an example. Tannehill taking a shot to Chris Moore was a good one too. So I think overall, Tim Kelly did a good job of putting those guys in position.
I do want to just say, I think Tannehill is throwing the ball as well as maybe I've ever seen him throw it. The guys aren't as open as they were, you know, when he was kind of in that groove with Arthur Smith and Jonnu Smith and Corey Davis and all those guys. But the balls outside the numbers, I mean, like that throw on the sideline to Chris Moore that I'm not really sure Chris Moore caught.
He caught it. He caught it. He caught it.
I don't know. But
he absolutely caught it. He made a football move and it came out, you know, after he made that move. That was a catch, undisputably.
But that throw?
Beautiful throw.
I mean, the throw that he had to Wiley, you know, that right
on the
there.
Seam? Yeah.
Yes.
That's another example of excellent play design because they ran that run to that side mm-hmm. a few times. And Wiley, he did a really good job of selling it, and he just slipped. He's in the seam. Tannehill, a direct throw to get him the football in time. If there was a DB there, he could do something. That was a really good throw.
I just think that it's crazy because I'm sure, you know, we talked about this last week, but every time the Titans have a bad game, there's always like, it's time to move on from Tannehill. It's time to see if Willis can do better. It's time to, you know, tank for Caleb Williams, which they're not going to do.
That's just ridiculous.
But that narrative always comes after they lose. I think the three games after the Saints game, I think Tannehill's accuracy has been top-notch, and that includes the Browns game where Tannehill just didn't have any time. And, I mean, Tannehill put the ball in Chig's hands and he dropped it. He put the ball in Burke's hands a couple times and he dropped it. I mean, I think Ryan Tannehill looks like he's got, you know, his – no-hitter stuff right now.
You take the worst of it, right? The Browns game. Mm-hmm. Those two throws to DeAndre Hopkins on the sideline, very good, right? One, I thought he had the foot down, whatever. The throw to Chris Moore, outstanding. Another excellent play design, Chris Moore running the wheel from the slot. And then the throw to Burks that Burks dropped was a really good throw, too. His placement is definitely there, and I tell you, to be able to stand in there and deliver the ball down the field in those situations, mm-hmm. it says a lot about Ryan Tannehill. And I don't think enough is said about how – like, look, I'll put it like this. Ryan Tannehill used to be a scary quarterback. In Miami, I don't know exactly what happened, but that dude has no fear now. You know what I mean? Because he stood in there knowing these guys are going to drill him, and he's getting the ball down the field.
Well, and not only that, I think the first game, and I really believe the first game was a confluence of the rust of him not having played, but also he got hit early in that game, and I think he had some happy feet and was unsure of the protection, and, you know, I think he kind of was seeing some ghosts, you know, in the pocket. And I think he decided for that Charger game, like, hey, I'm just going to throw the ball. Mm-hmm. And if they drill me, they drill me, but I'm just going to stand in there and throw the ball and just have to hope that they're going to block them. And this was the first week where they actually blocked them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they blocked in against the Chargers, too. I think this was the best that they've done. I personally feel this was the best that they've done.
TD is with us. As always, we'll take your phones at the end of the hour, 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to get in on this. The offensive line, much better. in week four than in weeks one, two, or three. What does TD make about that? And we got to talk about these receivers, because I have actually got some faith and confidence in some guys. I want TD's thoughts on that. We'll do that next. Again, we are live at the grand opening of the DraftKings Sports and Social, where they are raising the sports bar out here on 2nd Avenue at Nashville. Live at Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Ryan, what do you sell from Nick, and what was your trust level with him?
Which one?
Westbrook-Keenan.
Yeah, Nick's made some big plays for us. You know, obviously, he's been so consistent over his 3 years here, I guess going on four now, with us, you know, just consistent day in and day out. We can move him all over. He does the dirty work for us. He can make plays down the field. You know, you see him finish a tough run on the touchdown, a collision right at the goal line. So it's a guy I trust, and we trust as an offense because he does so much for us.
TD, Nick Westbrook, Akine is having himself a nice little season so far. Chris Moore is having himself a nice little season so far. DeAndre Hopkins is starting to, you know, I feel like I can see
he's him. Having a nice season as well.
I mean, I think I can see him and Tannehill, you know, kind of getting there a little bit. You talked about Treylon Burks. Didn't practice yesterday, didn't practice today. It sounds like this is maybe a more serious injury than just, you know, it sounds like it's probably more week to week than it is day to day.
Yeah, I think it's a more time consuming injury that's going to really probably require rest. I think the best thing for that knee is probably just to stay off of it. That's how I look at it.
So when it comes to the way that Nick Westbrook Akine is producing for this team and Chris Moore, and they're doing it in their different ways, Moore is more of the deep ball guy. Westbrook Akine is kind of more of the, I don't want to say possession receiver.
He does the dirty work.
Yeah. I like what they have right now at wide receiver. Like, I like the roles that people are carving out for themselves at wide receiver.
You can't leave Hopkins out. Don't leave
Hopkins. I mean, Hopkins is the third number one guy.
He's the number one, but he's the guy. When you need a play, you're going to Hopkins. That 38-yarder, third down. Mm-hmm. Set up the next two plays, which ended up being a touchdown. He's the tone setter.
Well, I mean, I certainly think that it's Hopkins and then the other guys.
Yeah.
But I guess what I'm saying is that it felt like last year the Titans at receiver didn't really have roles. And I think some of that was because Burks was in and out of the lineup. They thought Phillips was going to have a big role coming into the season, and then he got hurt. And, you know, Robert Woods, you know, is kind of inconsistent, it felt like. So it really seemed to me like they didn't have a lot of consistency as far as, like, roles and what I expected guys to do out there and things like that for the Titans. This year, I do see kind of the roles to, hey, DeAndre is the main guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he can do it. They can throw it deep to him. They can throw it short to him. He can run after the catch. He can go across the middle. He can run those drag routes. Like, he can do that. And then Westbrook Akine, higher volume guy, more of that Chris Sanders deep threat kind of guy. And I actually like the mix of the three.
Yeah, it's a good mix because it allows you to attack all over the field, and that's when you have good balance. And you got Chig, you know, on the catch and run side of things and working underneath as well. If Wiley develops, look, that's a big body, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're talking about 6'6", almost 6'7", 240, 250. That running the seam is a problem. And then if they could give him some opportunities like back shoulder or running slant, use him like Jimmy Graham, like the Saints use Jimmy Graham. If they could do that, now you're really cooking because you mix that in with Tajay Spears setting up matchups, you know, with that cheap motion and the different things that Tim Kelly does with him. And then you got Derrick Henry running the football. Now it's like you always have teams off balance. That's what you want to do, is have defenses not knowing, okay, how are they going to attack me?
The other thing, too, that I like is that with Westbrook, Akine, and Moore, who are probably the top two receivers that they probably trust the most run blocking, now there is not kind of this mass exodus of players when they're going to run and this mass entrance of players of when they're going to pass. Like, yeah, okay.
You're not so predictable.
So third and 10, yes, in comes Okonkwo and Spears, and, like, we know that they're going to throw the ball. But, you know, first and 10, when it's Hopkins, Moore, Westbrook, Akine, Okonkwo, and Henry, you don't know if they're going to run or throw.
Yeah.
And I think that helps them.
And they're even finding ways to throw out of run-based formations, right? 22 personnel, two backs, two tight ends. They're still throwing the football. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So when you could do that, you definitely have a solid chance on offense. And I think it goes back to something I was thinking, you know, when we were at the other place leading up to the Saints game is, okay, there's always excitement. The offense is going to take off. But what if it takes some time for that to all come together? What if it takes some time for Tim Kelly to get back into the feel and flow of a game and get familiar with how he needs to use and employ different guys? And I think that's what has happened. It's just let's see now that they see to hit a stride, let's see how it could roll over in these next couple games.
Is Derrick Henry back after what we saw last week?
Look, I never felt Derrick Henry was gone, to be honest with you. You'll hear a lot of people say, hey, you know, there's no way he's going to get 20-plus carries again. That's not going to be a consistent thing. Here's what it boils down to, and it's something that I wrote about before the season started, and it's a question I asked Tim Kelly, and it's, how much of this offense still revolves around him? And what did he say? I would be a fool to get away from what we do best.
Mm-hmm.
What they do best is give 22 to football.
You think Tim Kelly kicked himself? I mean, he said he did. But do you think he kicked himself the night after the Saints game that he didn't give the ball to Derek Moore?
He probably, in that situation, right, because you have an opportunity, you had a lead with late in the game, and you know, you could have done, or you were driving to take the lead late in the game, and that's, we've seen that movie so many times from this team,
mm-hmm.
right? So usually in that situation, Henry is getting the ball, he's getting the ball, but it's just one of those things where, you know, he got away from it. I'm sure he regrets it, but I'm sure
he
thinks of
you.
Those plays, though. That could have and should have been made. I'm sure he thinks of those.
Well, I think that what he said to you was pretty revealing after the Saints game when he said, I like the plan. I just didn't think that I did a good job calling the plays.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, what that told me was, you know what, I think I overthought it, is what I felt like he was saying, that, you know, I just felt good about this play and I felt good about that play, and so then I wanted to run this play, whereas sometimes – as you get more into the season, it's easier to get the feel of the game. It's like,
exactly.
Give it to him, it to him. And I also think that we talk about him being a slow starter, but I think it's the line. You know, it takes – you cannot practice in the NFL. The offensive line cannot practice anymore in training camp. And they have one less preseason game, and so there's just not the reps, I think, for an offensive line to – be game ready until they start playing games. And this is why first four games in 2019, Derek, 3.97 yards a carry. 2020, Derek, 3.72 yards a carry. This year, Derek, 3.9 yards a carry. I think it's the same.
I get what you're saying. And it's similar. You got to factor in the teams, you know, that he was facing. You know, that's something that factors in. It's just one of those things where I just think he's a guy, regardless, you feed him the football. Just feed him the ball. You're going to get a negative one. You're going to get a three-yarder. Then you get that 29-yarder,
mm-hmm.
right? And now next thing you know, you look, he has three carries for 40 yards, and it's like, wow, I didn't even realize that, you know?
And especially a team like the Colts that I think is kind of, you know, they've always played a softer defense to not give up the big play. That should be a game where he is effective running the football.
The Colts, they psyched themselves out before this game started.
Talking about,
I'm not saying they're going to lose.
EJ Speed?
Yeah. What are you talking about?
You know, it was funny because I was wondering as I was listening to the press conference today, I was like, I wonder if anybody heard what EJ Speed said. And then as I thought that, you immediately asked Derek about it. And Derek, and I was actually going to make this a topic on tomorrow's show. Derek last week was asked about extra motivation after the Browns game.
Yeah.
And Derek was like, well, I'm always motivated, but – yeah, I'd say there's a little extra motivation. And then he played like there was some extra motivation. And so when Derek said, like, you asked him, you know, hey, the Colts say that you have to hype yourself up to play them and they don't have to hype themselves up to play you.
Yeah.
The idea of, like, you know, yeah, I mean, that doesn't matter. But, you know, like, I could see that on Derek of, like, the but.
And what did he end it with? We'll see on Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, that's saying so many words without saying so many words.
And I think, too, like, Derrick Henry, if once he has those games like he had on Sunday, then I think it gives everybody more confidence. And I think it strikes defenses from this standpoint of he's still Derrick Henry now. Mm-hmm. You know, we still have to game plan like he's Derrick Henry, and there's just no way. I watched the tape on offense, there was one player in particular that I watched for the Bengals, Jermaine Pratt, mm-hmm. the inside backer, because every time the Titans ran a play action fake, Jermaine Pratt bit on it every time.
Yes.
And so the Titans could have run play action on every play and thrown the ball over the middle to the tight end and gained about 13 yards on every throw just from that.
Mm-hmm. He almost got the young Peyton Manning pass, too.
Oh.
Pratt, he came in, but he realized, like, oh, shoot, and he almost tipped that thing. And then you also – they got him on the play action to Josh Wiley, where that dude, he didn't know where he was.
Well,
it was so funny watching it.
He had a holding penalty that on the TV copy I didn't see.
Mm-hmm.
And so when there are flags like that that I don't see on the TV copy, I circle it to make sure that I go back and I watch it. And, I mean, he just took Chigakonkwo out.
Did he?
Just, like, took him out. Like, I was like, okay, yeah, that one I kind of get. TD is with us. What does TD think about the Colts? What does TD think about Anthony Richardson?
Love him.
Hey, before the draft, I hope I'm wrong about Anthony Richardson. I do. I hope that's the one that every caller, texter for every draft for the next 15 years is like, well, you thought that Anthony Richardson was going to be the man, because if he's what I thought he was going to be.
Yeah.
He's going to be some serious trouble. 615-737-1025, and then we'll hit your phones like we always do. We are live from the grand opening, downtown 2nd Avenue, DraftKings Sports and Social, out here where, once again, the first 50 through the door tonight for Thursday Night Football get a special prize from DraftKings. Let me tell you about Twice Daily and White Bison. That's right. White Bison is your local coffee shop with food featuring fresh-made premium breakfast, lunch, and snack options. By the way, I had a burrito today from Twice Daily, made fresh to go. Oh, fabulous. White Bison is your local coffee shop with food featuring fresh-made premium breakfast, lunch, and snack options. And pumpkin season is back. Celebrate the season by grabbing a pumpkin spice frappe, pumpkin sweet foam cold brew, or a classic pumpkin spice latte. When you're looking to complement your day with an ice or blended coffee near you, White Bison is the place to go. White Bison, hot drinks, iced, blended drinks, teas, smoothies, more. Finally crafted for you every day. And again, download the app and join the loyalty program to earn rewards so that when you buy 7 coffees, you get one free. That's right. Part of White Bison's rewards, buy 7, get one free. That's White Bison. And, of course, Twice Daily, fresh all day.
As you look to defend Richardson, is discipline the most important thing when it happens?
Well, I think discipline, communication, understanding the call and changing things up on them, you know, based on zone or man and making sure that, you know, sometimes it's not designed either. It's third down or first or second pat drop back. And, you know, there's not rush discipline, and he's able to pull it down and gain yards and make first downs.
TD, Anthony Richardson is a bad boy. And you know how much my heart broke on draft night when Anthony Richardson was drafted by the Indianapolis Colts with the 4th overall pick. It was so bad that Chris Sanders had to take his phone out and take a video of my meltdown when that moment happened. But now we've seen Anthony Richardson in the NFL. I'm probably biased. If Anthony Richardson does something good, I probably think it's incredibly good. And if he does something bad, I probably make an excuse for it because of how much I liked him coming out. But what have you seen so far of Anthony Richardson? What do you think about Anthony Richardson on Sunday against the Titans?
Well, first things first, what I've seen is a guy who's gotten better each time he's played. And here's a number for you, right? You look at this past week, right? 12.4 air yards per attempt this past week, as opposed to his first two games where it was 4.9 air yards.
12.4 to 4.9? Or 4.9
to 12.4. Wow. One of them was a throw that I saw, and I just said, Lord, you made a quarterback, and this is what you made.
Was that the one that hit Pearson between the 1 and the 4, like right?
With Aaron Donald closing in, actually with his hands on his neck. In fact, Donald got a personal foul, roughing the passer. It had the nerve to be a jump pass, too. The accuracy on that, it was stupid. So that's an example of what you have. But You know, it's more than just that. This guy has he has four rushing touchdowns. That's the most through the first three games any quarterback has had. They're all in the red zone. It's no coincidence, and that's why I asked Mike Vrabel on Wednesday about how he impacts the red zone defense. They're scoring touchdowns on 72% of the times they visit the red zone, mm-hmm. right? Why? Because it makes it pure 11-on-11 football. Don't be surprised if you see Al Shire or somebody being tasked with spying Anthony Richardson. That's a guy that you could normally blitz or you could put into coverage or do something with. You have to defend all of those guys. And then you got to factor in the RPOs, how well he does that. If he pulls it and runs, you know, your guys, your ends that have outside contain, they have to decide, okay, am I going to hammer him or am I going to crash down? What are you going to do? And that's something to Shane Bowen. Okay, well, if I want the end to crash down, I need somebody to be over top to have contain. There's all types of things that you have to be concerned about. And, oh, by the way, the DB's got to cover a little bit longer. I talked to Sean Murphy Button. He was like, yeah. Normally it's like 4 seconds we cover. Mm-hmm. I'm expecting at times I have to cover 5 seconds or more. And it sounds small, but that is an extended time. So you have that. His ability to break tackles, right? You have to be so much more disciplined with your rushes because if you leave a lane, he's going to hit that and he's gone.
I also think, too, what both he and C.J. Stroud have right now is I think they have the right coaches.
Yes.
For bringing them along between Shane Steichen and Bobby Slowick, the offensive coordinator of the Texans. Because I've watched a lot of Colts this week and a lot of Texans this week. And what I see are, I don't want to say easy opportunities, but they're putting the quarterbacks in position to succeed. Mm-hmm. And there was one in particular where Richardson threw a touchdown pass. I want to say it was to one of the receivers. It might have been Downs. Where
Downs is nice.
They pulled Quentin Nelson, the guard, and they had already earlier in the game run this play where Richardson had run it into the end zone for a touchdown where Nelson pulled. On this one, Nelson pulled. No, it was Ogletree. And Nelson pulled, and so they're thinking it's going to be the same thing. And Richardson starts to sprint out to the right and just drops it right mm-hmm. off to a wide-open guy mm-hmm. in the end zone. And I'm like, that. What happened is at some point they put that play in and they said, hey, we're going to keep this in our back pocket, and so remember this. And there's so many different things that I feel like Indy can do with a guy that has the talent that Richardson has that it's kind of hard in a week for Mike Vrabel to kind of go over that with the entire team.
Yeah, and the thing is they're setting him up even pre-snap. So you look, he has 13 carries. Right, 94 yards, 3 touchdowns. That's the most among all quarterbacks on design runs. Mm-hmm. 7 of those design runs, and Junie and I, we were just talking about this, motion, what it does. 7 of those 13 runs include motion. And what does motion do? It allows you to gather information. So now they're setting it up to where he can understand, okay, this is motion. He's not going on his zone. Oh, he's going with him. Now we got it. You know what I mean? And you could do different things off of that, and it helps make those decisions for you very quickly because you're seeing, okay, this is what the defense is doing. That's why Kevin Byard had an excellent statement when he said, you know, you have to disguise. Give a pitcher pre-snap, but a totally different pitcher post-snap. So they're putting him in great situations. I really like how, and even when you mix Jonathan Taylor into there, that's going to make it even more explosive for them. And it's going to be fun watching this offense, and especially if Taylor plays.
So one thing I was thinking about, I've been thinking for the last 2 days, if the Titans were to spy Richardson, who would they spy with? I think it's going to be Al Shire. But, this may be a game where Vrabel sits down with Monty Rice and says, hey, you've got one job. Because he's bigger than Al Shire, and Anthony Richardson is one of those.
I don't take Aziz off the field.
Well, I'm not
man.
Taking Aziz off the field. I'm taking Jack Gibbons off the field.
Okay.
Because Gibbons can't run with Anthony Richardson.
Listen, man. Gibbons is all right.
But he can't. I mean, I know, and he covered Tyler Boyd in the seam on Sunday.
You just help. You help. This is a game where you. All right, you go back to that divisional game against the Ravens, right, mm-hmm. in Baltimore. What they did a lot of times, they used Logan Ryan, right, as the nickel. And what they did was try to funnel everything one way. We're going to make you have to go this way, right? Elijah Molden is a guy you could do that with. And he was upgraded to full participant, by the way. So I think if you game plan stuff, you don't have to go as much personnel as far as like bringing in a guy like Monty Rice specifically for – you don't have to do that. You could go with your regular package. And the thing that's good about the Titans is their DBs tackle so well. So you could go to sub packages and you still have outstanding run defense.
What bothers me, though, is, you know, Richardson is one of those players. He's like a transformer, like Calvin Johnson was, like Derrick Henry is, where it's like he's too big for the position. At Gronkowski, it's like, okay, fine. You want to put a DB on Gronkowski? He's not big enough to cover Gronk. You want to put a linebacker on Gronk?
Not fast enough.
He's not fast enough. I mean, he's one of those special guys in that regard. And so the more guys they put on the field, the more I'm like, I could see Richardson on the run just lower that shoulder and just pop somebody back. Now, for his sake, you know, Trevor Lawrence said to him after the first game, he was like, dude, you cannot take the hits you took in college in this league. Like, you got to trust me on that. And then the next week got concussed like three plays into the game. Mm-hmm. Now, there was one thing that I did find a little fascinating. When it comes to right now, like if the Colts had to win, like if Jim Irsay had bet the team on a game, so you lose this week and you lose the team, I do think Gardner Minshew might actually give them a better chance to win because of the way that he threw the ball incredibly well in the Texans game and was incredibly good at managing the game in the Ravens game. But everything that they're doing is meant to make Anthony Richardson a superstar.
You going to do all this raving about Anthony Richardson and say Gardner, Frippin, Minshew?
Minshew's not bad, dude.
Oh, boy.
Now, I said this. Titans had drafted Tannehill, I said this before – or draft Tannehill. If the Titans had drafted Richardson, I said this before the draft. If I were the coach, which, you know, is easy to say and talk radio, but if I was the coach – I would have gotten at that podium, and I would have said, Ryan Tannehill is our starting quarterback. And if I run the Colts, I would have said Gardner Minshew is our starting quarterback, and I would have put Anthony Richardson on the bench. Mm-hmm. But I actually think Anthony Richardson is further along right now than I thought he would be.
You'd have put Gardner Minshew in there because, like you were talking about earlier, you know, finding a Justin Jefferson or Calvin. You'd have put Gardner Minshew in there to get you Marvin Harrison Jr. That would have been that plan.
Right, we might have a shot with that one.
You got to be kidding.
I'm telling you.
You seriously think putting Gardner Minshew in there would give you a better opportunity to win than Anthony Richardson?
Yes. And I'm the president of the Anthony Richardson Love Club.
This has hit an all-time low.
You didn't expect that one to come out of my mouth, did you? I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you right now.
I need a drink after that.
I just tell you right now. But I will say this.
Yeah.
Anthony Richardson's a bad boy.
He is. He's a bad man.
He is. And if they get him, like right now, their receiving core is okay. If they get him like a dude. Like that he can like he can't outthrow like a Tyreek Hill or a guy like an AJ Brown that can just, you know, go up and catch on any DB. He'll throw the ball to that guy every play.
It's more than just that though, because he got a basketball team playing tight end. You know, Ogletree is what 6'5". You got Mo Alley Cox 6'7".
Granson is
a beast too. Granson is a beast too. So you got all these guys doing these things and it helps out a lot.
Mo Alley, did you see that touchdown he had last where he was like a Larry Zonka just running dudes through like in there? All right, we're to your phones next. I spent too much time talking here on the TD Power Hour here. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. That's right. You know I love Hiller. They take great care of my home, and they can take great care of yours. If you have some things around your home that you've been putting off fixing, like your regular HVAC maintenance or a clogged bathroom drain, Hiller has some big discounts this month. When the temperatures drop and you start using your heater for the first time, you do not want to be dealing with breakdown issues. This month, Hiller is offering half off HVAC tune-ups. And Hiller is bringing back their $99 drain cleaning special. For just $99, Hiller will get you back up and running. These deals last only this month, so be sure to call now. Hiller's work is backed by the Happy You'll Be or Services Free Guarantee. And again, I know that because I use Hiller at my home. That's Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Hiller offers convenient, quick online booking. Select the appointment time that works for you and get an instant confirmation. Hiller, proud supporters of the Preds, the Vols, and Vandy. Call the Happy Face Truck today. Live at the DraftKings Sports and Social downtown 2nd Avenue for their grand opening today, TD Power Hour. TD, do you have a thought or do you want to go to the phones?
To the phone.
To the phones we go. Let's go to Max, who has been waiting patiently. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Go ahead, Max.
Hey, guys. Jared, go Cards. TD.
Thank you.
Appreciate your work, man. I got a theory for you. I want to run by you. My theory is that during this offseason, Vrabel and Carthon and offensive coordinator came to the conclusion that they can get into the playoffs running the ball 30 times a game, but they can't win a Super Bowl running 30 times a game. And I think they've decided that they have to become a pass-first offense and they have to be able to score high 20s, high 30s. And what I think we've seen through the first 4 weeks are growing pains. The throwing game isn't efficient yet. The running game is efficient. So, you know, you see a game like last week where they ran more and they won. The Saints game was a perfect example of throwing more and losing. I think they still know their running game is their best bet right now, but that they also have to transition to be a throwing team over the course of the next 3 months, and it's going to be bumpy. But frankly, I've got confidence that that they can do it if injuries don't take over, and I just want to hear what your opinion is on that theory.
Thank you, Max.
Yeah, I think, Max, a big part of that is Tajay Spears, adding him and all the things that they work to do. And you are seeing a definite change with he and Henry on the field at the same time. So you may be on to something. I do think eventually that offense is going to shift to a more pass-happy type of offense as opposed to the rushing attack. And I think it's eventually going to resemble, like, that physical style of it. You know, that the 49ers have, you know, where it's all about yards after catch, and then they bait you, and then they take a shot down the field.
I just know that when the Titans give it to Derrick Henry 25 times a game, they normally win.
Yeah, yeah. And so for now, that's the formula.
One texter asks and has the question of who got more out of last year's Philadelphia game between Shane Steichen and Shane Bowen in the Philly game last year? Is there more information that would be beneficial to Bowen or more information that would be beneficial to Steichen?
I would probably say if I had to pick one, it would be more beneficial to Steichen because the personnel was very similar, right? You look at Shane Bowen and what he's looking at. Okay, yeah, it's a similar offense with schemes, but Jalen Hurts is a different player from Anthony Richardson.
Yeah, A.J. Brown, you know, and Devontae Smith are not on the Colts.
Yeah, so it is a bit different. I would say more beneficial to Steichen, but, you know, either way, you could know what's coming. You got to stop it.
Justin texts in and says, how difficult will the environment be for the Titans? I feel like that's going to make a difference because Tannehill will not be able to use his hard count and cadence as much, and the Titans' best chance to beat the Colts is to keep Anthony Richardson on the sideline.
Yeah, I mean, it could be difficult, but, I mean, I would imagine they're practicing for that type of stuff. So
does Indy? I don't think Indy has that kind of reputation.
They went to New Orleans, man. Like, they went to Kansas City in the playoffs. You know what I mean? So
right.
it's not really going to be that much of a factor. They went to Seattle.
I feel like, you know, New Orleans has that kind of reputation.
Mm-hmm.
Cleveland has that kind of reputation. Seattle, Denver. You know, those places have that kind of reputation. Oh, yeah, Kansas City was crazy.
Arrowhead. Yep.
But, I mean, I've never heard Indy have that kind of reputation.
I mean, I could see, like, if it's a, you know, if they have the roof closed, et cetera, but, I don't think so.
It's the ugliest game to watch on TV when they open the roof.
The shadows and stuff.
It's awful.
And when they open it, like, the wind and it's that ball, it moves around very much. It's crazy.
Texter says, TD, can we just say that Treylon Burks was another bad draft pick?
No.
He can't stay healthy, and he has not been good for the Titans.
The man hasn't even completed his second NFL season. I'm not going to call him a bad draft pick. I mean, you look at Davante Adams, you know, it took him a few seasons. You look at Jordy Nelson. Like, those are just a couple that come off. See, here's the problem. We saw that class with Odell Beckham Jr., Kelvin Benjamin for that year, Brandon Cooks, all those guys. And before that, you saw Sammy Watkins. All these guys came in, and they were good immediately. We saw Jamar Chase come in, and he's excellent immediately. Justin Jefferson. Not everybody hits the ground running like that. There's this thing called development. And I get it. He's been injured, and that's harmed his development. But I'm not going to say it's a bad draft pick. Not at all.
I mean, the talent is there. And that's the thing that, you know, I feel like for a draft pick. Now, I think if a guy just flat out stinks, he flat out stinks, and I don't think Burks flat out stinks.
Right.
But I do feel like, you know, the third training camp is where we kind of figure out, like, okay, are you a player or are you not? And Burks is not to that point yet.
Yeah.
Kinston says, with C.J. Stroud off to a good start, how much weight should we now put into the S2 scoring system in hindsight?
I'd never put any weight into that anyway. Like, I don't pay these guys to do a calculus experiment. Like, I don't pay them to tell me, you know, some moronic formula. I pay them to throw the football, right? Like, that's how I would look at it if I'm an owner. C.J. Stroud has the second most yards through four games ever by a quarterback. Not Peyton Manning, not, you know, you name him, C.J. Stroud, second to Cam Newton. The dude could play football. That's what, and we get too caught up in these formulas and scores and tests and 40 times and all this. Can he play football? Yes? Okay, I'll take him.
Well, I also think, too, that the S2 reporting was, I mean, I think that it was a lie. So Joe's sources, don't know who Joe's sources are, but I got a pretty good idea. Joe's sources basically told him that, you know, the 18 score that Stroud got was an incomplete. Mm. That Stroud, you know, that it was, but because it's proprietary information, they, you know, nobody from the S2 place can say one way or another, you know, they can't call balls and strikes on it. Like, they can't come out and say, that's true, that's not true, they can't say that. So Joe's sources told him that, you know, again, the S2 test is what it is, you know, with the Stroud thing, that there were some extenuating circumstances. Now, I'm just going to tell you who I think leaked it. I think it was the Titans. The Titans are one of the teams in the league. And again, I think, I want everybody to hear that word out there.
Look, I'm going to tell you this. Forget S2. I got this test called DAWG. Do you have it or not? And you heard what he said after that first win the Texans had at home in quite some time. He said, I ain't going to fly here. I want you guys to walk around with swag when you have our gear on, just like we're going to. DAWG. I could care less about some dumb score on some test. Forget that.
But what if he didn't even score it? Like, that's what I think is what I'm saying.
The fact that we've spent a minute and a half talking about it is a waste of time.
Oh, I still think the Titans leaked that out there. Texter says, why did Amy allow the AJ trade, especially seeing her head coach, who was obviously proven to trust more than, who she obviously has proven to trust more than the general manager, hated it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how I'm supposed to answer that question. I don't know why she allowed it. I mean, maybe she was convinced that, hey, look, this is a deal that we're just not going to be able to manage. I don't know.
Didn't think it was a bad decision when it happened. You did.
Absolutely.
I did not think it was a bad decision when it happened. And it would be disingenuous for me to sit here and say, you know, that I thought that was the stupidest move in Titans history.
You spend a lifetime trying to find a receiver to come here and be awesome. That A in AJ stands for awesome. That's what he was. And then you trade it away. That's not good business, if you ask me.
My thought is that they probably thought, and I say they, but you know what I mean? I'm talking about John. And I like John. But he probably thought, like, well, I drafted AJ. I just go draft the next AJ. Without thinking about, you also drafted Corey Davis with the fifth pick. You also drafted Taywan Taylor. You also have drafted a lot of people that are not AJ. So that when you do draft AJ, you probably want to.
You want to keep?
Hold on AJ. To AJ. Last one for you, TD. Texter asks and says, TD, have you seen any of the next-gen stats on how fast Derrick Henry is running this season? Everyone says he can't hit the home run anymore, and I remember he used to hit top speeds of around 22 miles per hour. I was curious if his top speeds have taken a hit with age.
I know he hit 20 miles an hour. I'm checking now. Yeah, so the fastest ball carrier for the Titans this season was Treylon Burks at 20.7. Derrick Henry was right behind him on the 46-yard run against the Saints. It was 20.5. So I do think this, looking at the 29-yarder that he had last week, he hit 20 miles an hour on that one, and he only ran 29 yards. But I tell you what, like after he hit Pratt with that stiff arm, he accelerated like a little dude. I think if that was one of those longer runs, I think he'd have got up to that 21, 22, because you know he's a build-up speed guy. Like he probably, if he ran track, he'll probably be a 400 runner, maybe a 200 runner like that.
TD, thank you for stopping by the DraftKings Sports and Social. We look forward to you on the morning show tomorrow, where I'm sure, since Joe has already texted both of us about my takes, I'm sure you guys will be breaking those down. And then, of course, on the pregame show Sunday. Great stuff. Appreciate you, TD.
Yeah, for sure. Appreciate it.
Coming up next, Anthony Richardson's doing his thing. C.J. Stroud's doing his thing. Will Levis is not even active on game day. We'll discuss. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.